Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
For our Bible study today, take your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 30. And I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. The title of the message is Jesus Loves the Hungry. You know, we're hungry. We're hungry in our lives to know God. We're hungry in our lives to know significance. We're hungry in our lives to know joy. Robin Williams, the actor and the comedian, said that when he was young, he was hungry for love and acceptance. And he says that, "I started performing for my mother, saying, 'Love me.'" His father was a very tough guy and evidently didn't feel as much love in that situation, at least from the article that I read. But he said, "I performed for my mother, saying, 'Love me.'" We all want to be loved. Are you loved? You wonder, are you loved for who you are? You're hungry to know that the God of this universe, the creator of the world, loves you. Robin Williams went through 3 marriages and had many difficulties with substance abuse. And he had everything, but he ended up ending his own life in despair. Solomon, the king, had everything. He was the most powerful man on planet Earth at the time that he lived. He had great wealth. He had done great projects. He had done so many things, and he was searching for answers. He tried everything you could imagine, and you can go back to the book of Ecclesiastes and read all about it. He tried liquor. He tried women. He tried wealth. He tried building. He tried having pleasure, amusements, and he said it was all like chasing the wind. But sometimes we think money is the answer. You know, Jim Carrey is quoted as saying this, "I hope everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of so they will know that it's not the answer." Isn't that interesting? From a guy, to my knowledge, that does not in any way profess to have faith in Christ, but has been very, very successful. Evidently, his success has not led him to happiness. What does it take to feel good about yourself? You know, I was thinking about the recent signing of Derek Carr. Derek Carr plays for the Oakland Raiders. He is the highest paid football player in the NFL right now. He's been given all this money, but he has unique priorities. I want you to see a clip that's kind of been floating around. I want you to see his press conference, at least a portion of it, when they announced that he was the highest paid NFL player in history.
"I think that I've done my job, so thank you."
"Your priorities are in life and everything are well known, but it is a huge contract. And you're not really an extravagant guy, but is there one thing that you're going to sort of splurge on that you can let us know?"
"Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. I've been eating clean. We got Lad here. He's been having me eat clean. I'll probably get some Chick-fil-A. First thing I'll do is I'll pay my tithe like I have since I was in college, getting $700 on a scholarship check. That won't change. I'll do that. I'll probably give my wife something nice, even though she begged me not to. She still gets coupons. Ever since I've known her, she finds coupons. She gets online trying to find discounts and all those things, and none of that's going to change. The exciting thing for me, money-wise, honestly, is that this money's going to help a lot of people. I'm very thankful to have it, that it's in our hands, because it's going to help people not only in this country, but in a lot of countries around the world, and that's what's exciting to me. It was like surreal at first. I was like, all right, man, that's like Monopoly, man. That's weird, you know. But then, like, as I began to see it and how we could place it in certain areas and begin to see what kind of impact that could really make, that's when it hit me. Like, that, I didn't want to talk about that, but I've been down to Haiti. And I've seen some of those struggles that they have and the kids there, and my heart just, I cry sometimes thinking about it. And so just knowing that we can go down there and just make a difference and help, those are the kind of things that the money makes me kind of like, oh my gosh, because now we can really do some things to help a lot of people.
All right, that's Derek Carr. By the way, he doesn't know it, but he's my nephew, and I like his last name. I've just become an Oakland Raiders fan, by the way. But it's interesting that here's a guy that is at that level, and it just seems like it doesn't have its grip. What is it that he was hungry for? Some type of significance. Hey, Jesus loves the hungry, and I want us to look at three different passages here that is in our section of Scripture and realize that no matter what kind of situation you're in, the Lord loves you right where you are. I want you to find Mark chapter 6, and I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word, and I want you to follow along in your copy as I read this passage. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them and came together to him. Now just look at me real quick. The scholars believe that on the Sea of Galilee there was a place that they kind of cut the corner off of a little lake. They were of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a little place they could cut the corner, and the people saw where they were going and just ran around and met them there when they landed. And that's how they got this crowd. Verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having not a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' But he answered and said to them, 'You have given them,' he said, 'you give them something to eat.' When they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?'" That was 8 months' wages it would have taken, 200 denarii, 8 months' wages. "But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." We learn from the account in the Gospel of John, that's when the little lad, the little boy, gave his loaves and fishes. It's not recorded in Mark, but it is in the Gospel of John. Verse 39, "Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." Verse 45, "Immediately he made his disciples get out of the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away." Verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, and he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." Verse 53, "When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And many, as touched him, were made well. Jesus loves the hungry. In this first passage about him feeding the 5,000, I make this point. Number one, people who are hungry physically. This group of people that were there, 5,000 men were there, and that the disciples realized that it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they were going to start getting hungry. And so they said, let's send them away so they can find something to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. And they said, well, it would take 200, it'd take 8 months' wages to feed them. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? And then he did the miracle of providing the food physically. Jesus loves all people, and he loves those that are hungry, and he loves those who are hungry physically. The Bible says in verse 34, look at that, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. The word moved, the phrase moved with compassion, it's used in the New Testament only by or about Jesus Christ. It suggests something more than mere pity. It suggests actual help. In other words, Jesus saw a need physically and he met it. Now, he also met their spiritual needs. That's the greatest need of all. And we get that from this lesson. But there's a little bit of a lesson here in these three different passages. There are three different types of hunger that mankind has. And this first group represents a hunger physically. He was moved with compassion. It means to have your bowels yearn. They were sheep not having a shepherd. That's an Old Testament picture of Israel without spiritual leadership. And Jesus saw that they needed spiritual leadership. And just like Moses provided leadership in the Old Testament, Jesus was a representation of that leadership that would never need to be replaced again. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, it says this, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Go back to verse 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having no shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He taught them all day. He taught them all day. And Jesus found that little boy's lunch, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he gave that to Jesus, and Jesus broke it, and Jesus fed all those people. And the Bible says there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. He completed the job. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he wants to use us. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I just want us to think about this, that people who are hungry physically, Jesus loves them, and he is so moved that in his bowels, he is just, in other words, inside his gut is just such a compassion for those people. We get that little lesson out of that. There are many, many lessons. Matter of fact, this miracle, feeding the 5,000, is the only miracle of Jesus that is in all the Gospels. And you can find many, many lessons from it. But I just want to point out the lesson that Jesus was moved with compassion on these people. He taught them. And then when they were hungry, he fed them physically. It speaks to me that when there are people around us that are hungry, we ought to make a difference. When we do something for someone physically, it builds a bridge to get the gospel to them. Chelsea, even in her testimony today, mentioned that when she met Christians, they were compassionate. Did she not say that? They were good people. It made an impact in her life to see that people were not just, did not just have pity for those in need physically, but they were moved to do something. That's what Jesus did. Jesus cares for people who are hungry physically. Number two, people who are hungry emotionally. I want you to notice in verse 48, the scripture says in verse 48 that he saw them straining. Now, he sent them in the boat to the other side. He's just fed the 5,000. There's really more than 5,000. The Bible says there are 5,000 men. And in another passage, parallel passage, it says besides the women and the children. So we know that that word men actually meant the men only in that particular case. And so there were many, many more than just 5,000 that he fed. And so the Bible says in verse 45, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, in verse 48 it says, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. The wind was against them. Verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. They were fearful. They were scared. They were in a tempest. When they saw Jesus on the water, they thought he was a ghost. He was a phantom. Can I just say this? You know, some of us, maybe physically is not our hunger. We don't have that hunger physically. But maybe we have the hunger emotionally. Maybe you're in some circumstances right now that are very, very difficult. And your world is in a tempest. The Bible says that they were rowing against the, they were growing against the wind. And on another account in another gospel, it says they were about from 3 to 4 miles off the shore. And they were rowing and they were getting nowhere. Do you feel like that sometimes? Do you know someone who feels like that sometimes? I've felt that way many, many times, where you feel like your life is in a tempest and you're getting nowhere. And what happened was Jesus appeared to them at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were scared to death. They all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer." Now, they thought it was a ghost. He said, "Be of good cheer." That word means to have confidence. Sometimes when you're in a difficulty, you're in a difficult situation, you wonder if God is around. I believe that the lesson that the Lord gave me in this to tell you is this: when you're in a difficult time, the Lord is right there with you. He said this. He said, "Be of good cheer." In other words, have confidence. It is I. And when he said, "It is I," he said, "It is I, and I'm the only one. It's really me," is what he was saying to them. And then he said, "Do not be afraid." The word afraid there is the word phobia. It means to run away. And so when they realized it was him, he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. One of the passages says that the boat immediately went to the side. We don't know if that was like it was translated. I mean, either that or they cranked up the motor and it got there real fast. I don't know how it got there, but one of the versions says that when Jesus got in the boat, it was immediately to the shore. This is also the passage where Peter got out of the boat, although Mark doesn't mention Peter getting out of the boat on this particular version of it. Some believe that's because Peter was the one who discipled Mark, who wrote this, and Peter was not flattered by the fact that he sunk. And so he told him, "Hey, don't put that part of it in there." And so we don't know all the reasons, but we know from another gospel that this was the occasion where Peter got out of the boat, and then he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. Mark said the wind died down, we learned. John said they immediately went to the other side. But in the book of Matthew, it says when Jesus got in the boat, they worshiped him. I just learned this from this little passage here. First of all, in verse 48, it says this, and he saw them. Can I just say this to you in your difficulty? He sees you. He sees you. Remember, they were made to get in the boat in verse 45. Just think. If they had disobeyed, they perhaps would have had a warm bed that night. Let me say this. Sometimes obeying the Lord and doing what the Lord calls you to do may put you in a tempest. But I want you to know he sees you there. The other thing that I want to say to you is that he is with you. The Lord has you in the storm, and he is with you. In verse 46, the Bible says, and when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. That was a powerful illustration to me that even the Lord Jesus spent time in prayer. You must obey the Lord, but I want to say this to you. When you obey the Lord, you may end up rowing in a boat feeling like you're not getting anywhere. But be encouraged. Know that Jesus sees you. Know that he is with you. The bottom line of this passage is that your hunger may be an emotional need to know that Jesus Christ is with me in the battle that I'm in. So, Jesus loves the hungry. He loves those that are hungry physically. He loves those that are hungry emotionally. And then the last thing, people who are hungry spiritually. In verses 53 through 56, we see where Jesus healed all these people. Now, we learned in our Bible study in Mark, the scholars believe this, that in these healings in Mark, we see a picture of spiritual healing. Really, the ultimate healing is spiritual healing, is it not? The ultimate healing is knowing Jesus Christ and having our sins forgiven. So we see in this last section of Scripture, people who are hungry spiritually. In verse 54, when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, and they ran through the whole surrounding region, and they began to carry about on beds those who were sick, or wherever they heard he was, to wherever they heard he was. Verse 56, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. The word well there, that word for healing, is the same word that we use, the New Testament uses for salvation. Those that touched his garment, he saved. See, those that are hungry spiritually. So, three quick lessons I want you to get from this passage today. We are assured of his compassion. And his compassion was that it would even meet the needs physically. We were assured of his compassion. That's number one. Number two, we were assured and are assured of his presence. That's emotional. We are assured of his compassion. That's physical. He's willing to not just have pity, but to do something about it. We are assured of his presence. That meets our need. Whatever you're wrestling with, know that Jesus is there. His presence is with you. And then we are assured of his power. That is salvation. So I would say this to you today. If you are a believer in Christ, is there someone in your life who has a hunger physically that you could minister to build a bridge to get the gospel to them? Is there someone in your life who needs to know that the presence of God can be in their life and the difficulty that they're in? Jesus is with them. His presence can be with them if they will give their life to him. That's our emotional need. And then The greatest of all is a spiritual need. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, the deepest need of my life is to know for sure that one day I will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. How do you put a price tag on spiritual healing? How do you put a price tag on knowing that for as long as eternity is, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, as long as it is, I will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you are a believer, I want to encourage you to get that message to those who are spiritually hungry. Oh, listen, we live in a world where people are hungry for significance. They're hungry to know what's going to bring joy in their life. Augustine said this. He said, Lord, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. The world is searching. If you're a believer in Christ, your job is to be a missionary. A missionary to take the gospel to those that are spiritually hungry. If you're not a believer today, then I want to encourage you to know that His power is available to you to change you and to give you what you're really looking for. And that is a relationship with God. A relationship with Jesus. And I encourage you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me in prayer?
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.